prophet said if that original vine would put out another branch, they'd write a book of Acts behind it. I went through the old testimonies. I'll get in my office here in a little while. I got them laminated and things. 2003, I made it all the same font too, so it'd be about the same. We had about 6 pages worth of testimonies in 2013. Well, I just got done doing 2014, and we got 14 pages. And with after a praise report like today, we're definitely on par for being ahead of that next year. Praise God. But I believe that. I believe that's fulfilling what the prophet said. And that's right. We're going to have, these are the signs that we've been waiting for, and they're here. Thank God for His Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. James chapter 2. If you have your Bibles tonight. Thank you, Lord. I think Evan might sneak in here later. He said something to me today about it. We'll see. If he comes, if he does, just give him a smile. It's been a while since I've seen him. Hallelujah. James chapter 2. Let's go to verse 17. Good to see everyone that can make it out to the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you, Lord. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O man, know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Let's stop there. I'd like to preach tonight. Satan's faith. Satan's faith. Let's bow our heads together tonight. You have a need you'd like to lift up to the Lord? God bless each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being here in our presence again. You're our guest of honor, Lord, and we ask you to come, and not just into this building, not just around us, but, oh God, sweep our hearts, our souls, our minds of everything that's contrary to you. Make us, Lord, the Christians we ought to be. Purify us. Lord, let the water come of the Word and wash us clean from anything the world might have put on us, Lord. We come, Lord, and asking you, Lord, to forgive us for all of our mistakes, our failures. Let that blood just be all in our lives and all over it, Father. We come, though, Lord, you said, come boldly to the throne of grace, and we do that tonight. You know the thoughts and intents of our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that you would move on the scene of every heart's desire that's here today, and that you would manifest your word once again here in our midst. If there's anyone here sick, may they leave well. If there's anyone discouraged, oh God, may the Holy Spirit just fill them anew with new zeal and courage to fight another day. And just have your way in this service, we pray. Take my lips, Lord. Speak through them your word. But God, open our hearts that we might receive it, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. And I'll show you here in a minute where I got this thought, and I hope it don't offend nobody. But I believe the message of the hour. And when I was reading this time, I took a little hiatus when I was getting my college done. I told you I've been reading through 62. Well, I finally got back into it again here last week, and I'm glad I did. I sure like reading the message. It's really neat. If you've never done it before, I'd encourage you to read a few messages in a row. It's really neat to see, you know, to think of walking with the prophet for those meetings and going from one to the next. And, oh yeah, I remember when he said that and he said this, and just how the Lord used him. It's a mighty thing. And if anything, it just encourages my faith more and more that this message is right. That just the way it came, it was applicable then. And he talks about people's situations and things at that time, but yet it still applies today. It's the same with the Word of God. We read things that look like they're history, and they don't mean nothing else. But here's a man, Abraham, that lived how many thousands of years ago, but yet his faith is still applicable to today, him being the father of faith. So I think that was really neat as I've been doing that, and I encourage you to do the same. But I like to speak on this thought of Satan's faith.
If you notice right there in verse 18, it says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well." And a lot of people think, maybe not so much in the message, I mean, I'm sure it's around, but plenty of times when you're out in the world, they say, "Well, I believe God, that's good enough." And they might say it's Jesus, but they really don't know. And they think they know God. We thank God that you can't know Him without seeing the revelation of the hour, because you don't know what God you're worshiping. Even if you claim Christianity, which one are you worshiping? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost? Which day of the week are you going to worship which one? What's His name that you might call upon Him? Thank God He opened up His Word, and we know what that is. We don't have to guess around. We can call Him by name. And aren't you glad that when you call Him by name, He calls you back by name? Hallelujah. That's right. That's what tickled my ear when I heard Jesus Christ. Something in me moved me that way. Why? It was somebody calling my name. Isn't that right? There's just something about when you call somebody by their name. It's just different than everything else. Even nicknames and things, that's all fine and dandy. But when you call them by their name, it kind of gets their attention. That's how God did me. That's right. And if you go through the Bible, you won't find God saying, "Cain, come here." You won't hear Him say, "Balaam, how you," but He did say, "Peter." Hallelujah. Go get the disciples and Peter. "Peter, you've been called, or you're the son of Jonas, but I'm going to call you Cephas because I'm going to make you something you don't know that you're going to be." Praise God. But Satan here, he says, "You believe you've got faith." Well, I hate to break it to you, just because you believe in God doesn't mean you've got the faith that the Bible declares. You've got Satan's faith, if that's all the further you ever went. People think that Satan's an atheist. No, Satan's a deceiver. Satan makes people think they're atheists because he doesn't. If he can get them not to believe in God, then they won't believe in him either. So he don't really care about playing by the rules. He doesn't play by no rules. He just wants to deceive so he can destroy you. And Satan's got more revelation than most people. He knows that there's only one path to life. So he doesn't really care what other path he can get you on. He just wants to get you on something else, because then he knows you're not walking in life anymore. Hallelujah. And if he can get you in a nice, comfortable position, he'll leave you there. Because sometimes if he pushes you too far, he might wake you up. And he's starting to learn that maybe I don't need to do that too often. Brother Rand talks about it. He says if a man, he said, they say cigarettes is the way into other drugs. But if those other drugs might get you to realize you need salvation, Satan will keep you right and comfortable right there, just cigarettes. And make yourself miserable. Because you think, well, it's not too bad, ain't no big deal. And then the whole time you know you're condemned in your heart, and he just leaves you right there. What does Brother Branham say? Enough religion to make yourself miserable, because all the faith you are mustering is the same faith that Satan has. Satan knows God exists. Satan knows that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He was the Holy One of Israel. Even when He was here on earth, the devils called Him out. Said, "You're going to cast us before the time, Thou Holy One of Israel." And Jesus told him, "Hold your peace. It ain't my time yet." Hallelujah. And we think things are out of cater when you hear the Son of God, and they had a whole rally ready to kill Him, and yet He walked right through the midst of them because He said, "It's not my time to die yet. It doesn't matter what happens." And we look at our lives and go, "Oh my, it's falling apart. I just don't know what's going to happen here." If it ain't your time, it don't matter. Just get the right faith. Don't use Satan's faith. Get the faith of the Son of God that says, "God allowed this, and I can't go until His will's done." That's right. Glory to God. Just think of how many times somebody else tried to do what Jesus did and didn't get away with it. Remember, nobody killed Jesus, really. Jesus gave up His life. He said, "No man takes my life. I give it freely." And aren't you glad that He did? Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read you a quote here to see where I got this thought. It might surprise you. Wisdom versus Faith, 1962. "Now, of course, anything that the devil has is a perversion of the original. Sin is a perversion of righteousness. Adultery is a perversion of a legal act. A lie is the perversion of the truth. And so, the wisdom that I want you to get straightened out before we start." He's talking about wisdom versus faith. Now, let's talk for a minute. "There is a wisdom of God. A wisdom of God is stay with His Word."
Amen.
That's it. Don't add no more to it. That's all the wisdom you need to be a Christian. Stay with the Word. Amen. "But Satan, in his wisdom, tried to twist the Word, so that's the wisdom I'm speaking of. There's a certain amount of faith that goes with Satan. In order to accept Satan, you've got to believe Satan. So there is a perverted faith to a perverted thing. And anything that would try to twist the Word of God to make it say something that it doesn't is the wrong spirit, see, offering wisdom against God's wisdom. So we're going to refer to it as wisdom and not Satan's faith. Well, what is he saying? The whole rest of the message, when you hear him talk about wisdom being against the Word, it's really the same thing as Satan's faith. Why? It's just intellectual. Use intellectual faith. You say Satan's faith. You say worldly wisdom. You've said the same thing the whole time. Nothing changes. So when he refers to wisdom, as I keep reading, remember in your mind, this is how Satan believes. And God forbid we follow in the path of the devil. We know where he's going, and I don't want to follow him. Hallelujah. Now let me keep reading here. Many of those people that believe that, so they that you have a certain amount of faith. I believe that. And people that don't believe the message stuff, and you say, well, how can they do this? How can they do that? How did Balaam prophesy? How did Cain offer an offering? They have a certain kind of faith, and they get it from the devil. The devil has enough faith to approach God. How many knows that? Yes, he does, because he knows, if I don't get God's permission, I ain't doing nothing. So he's got enough faith. It's not a real faith. It's a perverted faith, because you cannot do anything if you're really going to have the faith of God. It would not be perverted. Amen. The devil cannot create. He cannot create anything. Everything he does is just God's twisted up. Hallelujah. Why do you think he's so jealous of you and I? How do squirrels come into existence? Praise God. Come on now. Do we believe this word or not? That's it. Many of those people that believe that are sincere. Oh, who's going to tell me Cain wasn't sincere? How many of you built an altar to God? How many of you toiled and toiled for, who knows, months on end to make a nice, beautiful sacrifice just to have God tell you it's not accepted? And you see that bloody mess over there? That's what I want. And we come to church and say, God, didn't I just worship you so well today? Didn't you see how high my hands were? If that's the way you're worshiping in a nice form and it looks pretty and you're following all the rules and you're not getting out of order, I'm sorry, worship isn't. When we talk about church order, it don't have to do with praising the Lord. That ain't what we're talking about. When Brother Random had the prayer lines, he said, please be quiet out there. But he said, if you got to say hallelujah or something, you go right on ahead. That don't disrupt nothing up here. Look, when we get to heaven, I've heard plenty of witnesses of it, but you hear different. They said, you hear music here, and normally it'd be confusion, but it ain't that way in heaven. It's all hitting right on beat, and it all goes in harmony. So if you get all of a sudden an urge coming out of you as you hear the word, it's like, glory! You don't disrupt this preacher, I'll tell you that much. And you ain't going to disrupt the Son of God, but you'll shake up devils. Amen. Why? His faith don't operate that way. His faith says, well, we all come here. And we sit respectfully before God. Yeah, you respect God by praising Him. You respect God by worshiping Him. You respect God by shouting when He delivers you. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I got sick today because I feel great now. Because it's hard to appreciate sometimes when you feel good until you feel terrible. That's why when I got here, no problems raising my hands. I don't know, I just felt great. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to preach tonight. Let me keep, all right. Many of those people that believe that are sincere and believe. Sure. Yes, they do. Just with all the faith that they got, that they're right. See, you have to watch. The blanket stretches two ways now. But the only way to be sure. So you say, Brother Andrew, man, you're making it look like it's hard to believe. No, it isn't. If you've got the faith of God, you know you have the faith of God when it only punctuates the word. When it says only what the Word says. So when you watch something you believe, now listen to me now, and you put your faith behind it, and you don't see it producing what the Word said, you know you're operating in Satan's faith. What did the Word say about a son of God? What did the Word say about somebody filled with the Holy Ghost? You are sealed till the day of redemption. So if you get some other spirit, and it'll be religious, the devil's not stupid. He knows how to quote quotes. He knows how to use scriptures. He knows how to twist it around, and he'll still operate in a realm of faith, but it is not the faith of God. It's his own faith. You'll still believe God. You'll still say God sent a prophet, but you'll be miserable. can't get the victory. Just struggling along. Why? Because the devil's the same way. He's just deceived himself to think that somehow he's going to win this. That's the only thing that keeps him going. Otherwise, he would have quit. If you lost 10,000 million times in a row, eventually you just quit. Unless you're so twisted in your mind, you don't even see the reality around you. And that's the world we live in. That's what Satan's faith will produce. It'll produce corrupted minds that can't see reality. They see a falsehood. When a nation that says peace, peace, and that's what's going to destroy them. As they think there's peace. You read that, I think it's in Revelation, Daniel, he said the end time Antichrist will practice in his hand and by peace destroy many. Amen. That's right. Why? Because you've got to know the truth. The truth is what sets us free. And if you look around and it's all hellfire, I'd rather know it's all hellfire than think I'm okay and just stand there and be like, well, no big deal. You're still going to burn anyways. I need to find a way out of here. And until I realize where I'm at, I'm not going to get anywhere. But if you're the Holy Ghost-filled bride of Jesus Christ, you need to go back to God's faith, which tells you where you already are. In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, forever. You don't go in and out. You're either in the kingdom or you're out of the kingdom. They were looking for the kingdom of God when Jesus got here, and he said, it's right here. Why? I am the kingdom of God. And he says the kingdom, this is before they got the Holy Ghost, he says the kingdom of God dwelleth in you. What? The seed of God. That seed was always there, and it was a part of God, so it's literally the Holy Ghost. You understand? The baptism of the Holy Ghost was the quickening power, but that seed was literally a part of the same Spirit that God was, the Holy Ghost. But then the power of God came and he brought that back to life. And he sealed it in. That's what the faith of God says.
Yes.
Satan's faith says, oh yeah, you had it, but you lost it somewhere. You look sealed, but look what you did yesterday. Oh, you knew you shouldn't have said that one. Looks like you're not in the kingdom. Come on now. When does God say those things? Oh, he might convict you, but he's never going to come down and tell one of his sons that you're not a son.
Right.
And when you hear the devil telling you, he come and tell you your serpent seed, well, you just need to recognize that the devil's a liar.
Right.
And he can't tell you the truth. So when Mr. Devil shows up and calls you a serpent seed and you don't love God and all these things, you need to go back to the Word and say, well, you're the father of lies. My faith declares that you have to be lying to me right now. So the only way for this to work is I'm not what you're saying, so I must be a son of God. That's the wisdom of God. And it's foolish when compared logically to man's wisdom, to Satan's faith, to Satan's reasoning. It looks stupid. How many of you in the days of Noah had said, oh, okay, Noah, you know what? Let's use Satan's faith now. I believe you, Noah. There's a flood coming. It's going to destroy the whole world. We need to get ready for this. You're right, Noah. So I'm going to go get the best scientists I can find. Get the best metal, the best product. Why? I'm going to do the best I can. I need to make sure that this is going to last because the flood's going to come kill us all. But God's faith already declared, hey, farmer boy out there, come here. Get a couple of your sons. Well, they actually weren't even born yet when he got the promise. How many knows that? It wasn't for like another 20 years before one of his sons were born. He had to go make himself some Converse. He couldn't find nobody else. And how many of you think Noah's ministry failed? Good. And he only had 8 souls. How many think Jesus' ministry failed on earth now? How many did he have when he went to the cross? 0. And we'll judge a man based on that. You don't judge a man based on that. That's Satan's faith. Oh, if this was really a move of God, there'd be thousands of souls here. No, if you were really right, everyone would understand and get in the ark with you. You have to be off because you're the only one doing it. The difference is Noah heard from God. That's all it comes down to. If you don't hear from God, you're not going to know what to do. And what proved that Noah was right is when the flood came, one boat lasted. The one made out of gopher's wood, put with pitch all over it. But you know what happens? It looks silly. But once you put that pitch on and let it leave there for 120 years, it becomes as strong as steel. And on top of that, I believe there was a fleet of angels right around that one that made sure that when the rain came, it just was nice and cozy right there and destroying everything else. Praise the Lord. Let me keep reading. Now, may those people that believe that are sincere and believe just with all the faith that they got that they're right. See, you have to watch. The blanket stretches two ways now, but the only way to be sure is come back to the original word. There is where everything is based on the word. Now we find that these two factions or sources is one wisdom and the other one faith. One Satan's faith. This is me now. One Satan's faith, one God's faith. Excuse me. And they versed one another since creation in the Garden of Eden. Now, there is children on both sides. Okay? Now, that is what the wisdom we're talking about. Something that will not agree that all this word is the truth. It's something that will take away from the truth, expressing itself a higher knowledge, more wisdom. And if wisdom of that sort come from Satan, his children live by that wisdom. By that faith. When you see somebody that comes and says, I know Brother Branham said, but, and then starts to, what are they doing? They are saying that the way God brought his word wasn't good enough. The wisdom of God only went, so they've got to go higher than that and exalt their revelation above that. You find someone in false doctrine, I guarantee you can't get them to talk about nothing else. They'll just hit on that one doctrine all the time. Why? Because they have to exalt that knowledge above the knowledge of God. I saw a young man one time. He's a buddy of mine, but he was going to a church that believed some things, and he just went along with it because that was the first church he'd went to in the message. But then he began to realize that he would, you know, be talking to somebody and read a quote, but then he would need to be over their shoulder to say, yeah, I know he said that, but this and this and this. And he began to realize, wait a minute, why do I need to be here to make sure this comes across right? Shouldn't it speak for itself? And that was the first thing that started him to realize, there's something wrong somewhere. You want the wisdom of God? I'm going to tell you, it's very simple. It's incredibly simple. It's so simple, you'll stumble right over the top of it. Just say what the tapes say. Amen. Just say what the Word says. Don't add to it. Don't take away. Don't try to go off in left field. Don't try to be an eighth messenger. Just say amen. Amen. And walk in it. And say, that's mine, Lord. That's mine. I'm a son of God. I believe this Word. By His stripes, I'm healed. Amen. And then walk in it. Don't let Satan come and tell you, oh, I know you're healed, but that's for tomorrow. Don't you believe that devil's lie. Today's the day of salvation, and salvation goes from the soul all the way out. When Jesus redeemed us, He redeemed body, soul, and spirit. Thank you, Lord. My body can become subject to the Word of God. I can make it get well. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let me keep reading here. And if wisdom... or it's something that takes away from the truth, expressing itself higher as a higher knowledge, more wisdom. And if wisdom of that sort come from Satan, his children live by that wisdom. And if faith of God came through God, and God is His Word, God's children lives on faith. That is our source. That is our life. Don't make it knowledge. Don't make it what we think is information and being able to put quotes together. It is literally our faith in what He has done and what He has shown us. Amen. The revelation, that's the same. Revelation and faith go hand in hand. For you to really believe, you've got to have a revelation. And for you to get a revelation, you have to really believe. Amen. Hallelujah. God's children lives on faith. The Bible said the just live by wisdom. Brother Ramsey and the congregation says, no. Faith. The just shall live by faith. Not what we can learn, but what we can believe. Amen. All right. Now we find out, let's take wisdom first. Wisdom has reasoning. Faith has no reasoning. Now, I'm going to make that statement an absolute, if that's okay. There's no reasoning with faith. Faith will stay with the Word without thinking any deeper than that. Because what happens is what Paul warned them of in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means," which means not just one way, not just this way, not just on this brother that you know ain't serving the Lord just right, but right there on that brother you love. By any means, the devil don't care. He'll go after anything. He doesn't play by rules. He doesn't make deals that you're going to come out ahead on. He's out for himself. Lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. When the seals were opened, do you know why it took so long for anybody to get it? It was too simple. That's it, Brother Branham. It just shows us who we are. Yes. Now be careful. Simple's not shallow. Okay? Simple's not shallow or like they're out there, you know, we just, oh, Jesus, John 3:16, He died for our sins. It don't really mean, you know, thank God we're saved, blah, blah, and we do whatever we want and move on. That's not what we have. We have something real than that. Amen. It's simple, but it packs a lot of weight. Amen. If you can see yourself as a son of God, there's no sickness can stay in your life. Right. If you can see yourself as a son of God, there's no devil can come put residence in your house, Amen. In your wife, and your children, and anything that you're involved in, you've got a greater man on the inside, and he dominates the situation. He's the master of all circumstances. But with a great conqueror comes a great person to be conquered.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The only way to beat Satan's faith, the only way to show that it's wrong, is to have the faith of God.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're beating at the air. You're throwing punches at somebody you're never going to hit. Hallelujah. Let me read you this quote. I hope y'all start believing me when I tell you these things. Because you put me through the ringer sometimes, I think. Why'd we... I was thinking that, God honest truth. Why'd I get sick today? Because how many times have I told you, come to church anyways when you're sick, and here I am. 3 o'clock on a Wednesday going, man, how in the world am I going to do this? How am I going to get up and preach a sermon feeling like this? Don't matter, Lord. I preach it. I believe it. I'm going to live it. Amen. You might have noticed my wife got here a little bit late. What was that? Right before supper time. Guess what happened? Wesley, whew, all over the floor. She still made it here, though. We might have had to improvise, but we made it to the house of God. Why? There ain't no way to help that little boy besides get him into the presence of God.
Right.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. And Brother Branham dealt with this. Listen to this quote. I just love it. Wisdom versus faith. I just called back there a few moments ago to pray for an old minister. And he had just had a blackout, like nothing fine wrong with him. He's just an old saint of the Lord. On the road down here, Satan tried to make me sick, to vomit too. I said, we're just going to have to pray for one another. He wasn't saying, I guess we're just both going to have to stay home. I bet we're both going to have to go call evangelist so-and-so. We ain't going to be able to make it. Oh, I think we're going to have to pray for one another. That's right, yeah. So it was Brother Coggins. We know him very well here at the Tabernacle. He comes up from Carolina, and he's been very, very sick, just stand and black out, but don't seem like one thing wrong with him, not physically. So, can this be an absolute to us today? It's just the devil trying to tempt him. He's a great tempter, and he's a good one too. That's absolutely true. Don't underestimate the devil, because then you'll try to fight him in your own power, and that's when you lose.
Right.
See, you got to know your adversary. You got to know that he's always trying to get to you. Always. He doesn't take vacations. The devil's got more zeal than a lot of message believers do. He don't quit. You know what? He even comes to church more than most message people. He actually gets down and watches you pray more than you pay attention. He's hoping you fall asleep. Come on. He's hoping you'll just quit and say, you know what, I'm just too tired. He's, oh, good. That's what he does. Why? Because they believe and tremble. See, they've got enough faith to know who God is in their relationship to Him. What is it? He's way stronger than we are. We have to do what He says. Yet God has taken us and exalted us to a position that they're jealous of. Let me get to that here. Let me find it real quick. I know I have it. It's Isaiah 14. Y'all know this. We just had Brother Alexander preach on it. He says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." How is Satan saying these things when the Word of God says there's no way for him to do it? He's operating in the faith that he has. But what is it producing? What does Satan's faith produce? An illusion. And it looks good. And it looks like, and he produces something. Okay, if sin didn't produce anything, it wouldn't be no temptation to it. But it does produce. The problem is, it's not eternal. It only lasts so long. And Satan has visioned his kingdom, which is now all around us. But yet, remember when the rapture happens and he gets kicked out, the Antichrist becomes Satan incarnate. What does the Bible say? It says he's angry. He said he's got fierce wrath. Why? He knows, I've only got a few short years. Don't let Satan get you on some rabbit trail. I'm here to tell you, no matter what benefits the devil gives you, if he gives you some nice paying job and it's going to be better and you're going to have this and that, but you're going to start missing church, don't go with Satan's lie. Right. It looks pretty, it looks great, but I'm telling you, he's leading you somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now faith, Satan's faith does produce, and let's turn there, Matthew 7. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So Satan's faith, look what he's saying here. These men were operating in faith and getting results. And you can't do that. You have to work in the framework of the Word of God to get any results. And Satan knows this. So what does he do? He takes the Word and just perverts it enough to where he can get results, yet not get any souls converted, not bring anyone to peace, not give anyone joy or love or any of those things that he wants you to have. He doesn't want you to have any of that. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to be miserable because he hates you. So what has he done to these people that have operated in his faith? He's led them down a rabbit trail of wisdom that says, hey, we cast out devils. We pray for the sick and they get well. We prophesy in the name of the Lord and it happens. We've got to be okay. And they believed it. Remember Brother Branham talks about when he preached disappointment at judgment? See, the atheist doesn't operate in that, even in that kind of faith. He's just out there in no man's land. But those that are right next to Satan, those that are Judas and can operate in the supernatural, that can feel the presence of God, that have got enough sense on how to yield themselves, at least in that way, to let God use them. But yet in their soul, never give over. Never really fall in love. Never get converted. Hold back and pretend like everything's going to be okay. And why? They're using Satan's wisdom to tell them, don't worry about that conviction. Don't worry about you still living in sin. Don't worry about you still lusting after this and wanting this thing of the world. Don't worry about none of that. Look what you're doing over here. But if the foundation's not right, the house is going to crumble. And that's what happens here. This is what Satan produces. And right before that it says, whereof by their fruits you shall know them. That's what we're trying to get to. That's when you can find a servant of God, is the thing that's in him, the faith that he has, when it's quickened, what does it produce? It should produce signs and wonders. I hope we understand that. If you've got something that doesn't produce anything, you're just dead. You don't even have a perverted life. You just have no life. And that's, that's just as bad. You're just as terrible. What's better, to be an unbeliever or make believer? Doesn't matter. I know I'm not going in. I'd rather just be a believer and know it. So the believer has signs and wonders, but yet he's got the character to go with it, that he's fit to rule. He's like David. He doesn't have a big showboat. Why did David want to kill Goliath? It wasn't so he could take Saul's place. It was so that Israel would defeat the enemy like God said they would, instead of sitting there in captivity. And we'll rebuke the man just like his brother did, won't we? The man that's willing to stand up in faith will say, well, we know he's just kind of arrogant anyways.
Sure.
We know he's just kind of boastful.
Uh-huh.
And even if he is, God didn't make us a judge of those things. When did these people get judged of that? Right here by the Lord himself. Come on now.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Brother Branham says this, but there's only two sources that we can draw our life from, and one of them is wisdom, and the other is faith. And if we think what wisdom produces and then what faith produces, I'm going to tell you right now, if you can get that as an absolute in your life, that when you start going down, and I'm sure you've been there. I hope you have at some point, or you're probably not fighting the enemy, but he comes and he uses things that you know. He uses quotes that you know. He uses scriptures that he know, and he frames a reality that he's pointing you down, and he's trying to push you that way. And it could be all kinds of things. You're always going to be sick. You're always going to have this health problem. You're always going to have this temptation or this problem over here. Or you know what? You're just that Judas the whole time. And he keeps framing that and pushing you. He won't just throw it all at you one time. He'll move you step by step over there. And we already told you his first thing to get rid of. Do you remember what that was? Your prayer life. Because if you stay with God, you only hear God's voice. It's when Eve decided to go wander off on her own and start listening to somebody else. That's when she got all perverted. That's when she took a wisdom that looked better than what God had given her. God help us to never, and I say the same as a servant of God too, don't you never take something I say over what this prophet said. Don't you do it to any man either. I never even tell you to go listen to these tapes if you ain't listening to Brother Branham's. No, we've got to have the right foundation. That's actually what kept me straight, just in case you're wondering, is I went and I read the Church Age book without nobody telling me. I went and read the seals. I listened to the messages. So when I went to a message church, it didn't take me long to realize not everybody that claims to believe the message really does. Why? That my absolute isn't what some message church said, what some brother over here said, or pulling some doctrine I had when I've heard Trinity and all these things. No, it was what did God bring me? That's the wisdom I want. That's my absolute. I'm tied to it. And it didn't just lay there dormant. It came into my soul and it changed who I was and it made me something I tried to be time and time again and never could do it. But it did it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's any testimony to this being true, it's what this message did to my life. Thank you, Lord. What does Satan do? He comes into there, and where's he attacking? Where's the greatest battle ever fought? It's right here in your mind, and he always brings perversion. That's all he can do. His faith is taking. He will not go for you. You know too much. Understand me tonight. You know too much for him to try to work through some prostitute. He knows you're going to turn that down to work through some drugs or some devil-possessed thing. He knows that you know that's him.
Right.
But when he can come and say, you should have prayed 5 minutes longer, that would have proved you're really a son of God, but now I know you're not. It's a corrupt mind. That's what it is. Let me read you a few more scriptures here. Romans 1:28 says this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, retain God. That means not knowledge I come up with. I say what God says, and I retain it. When other thoughts come, I don't entertain them. I retain the thoughts of God, and I hold to that. And I retain God in my knowledge. When you use the word knowledge in Hebrew, it literally means God's knowledge. Because that's the only source that matters. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Let me read you another one. At least I thought I had one more here. All the simplicity, we read that earlier. So your minds should be corrupted. You see how he's attacking the mind, the mind, the mind. Why? Because that's the inlet. That's how he can get and change who you are and what you do and what you believe. He's got to work through the mind. Hallelujah. But if you can just retain God in your knowledge, I mean, and that's really the same as faith. We talk about Satan's faith and Satan's knowledge and Satan's wisdom all being the same thing. It's the same with God. When we say God's knowledge, we're not talking about the world's knowledge. We're saying faith.
Amen.
When we say we're walking Holy Ghost-filled believers, that means the same thing as walking in God's Word. Walking in God's faith, it's all the same. You either have God in you, living out of you, or you have a perversion.
Sure.
Thank you, Lord. And those are the only two sources we can live by. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, not a Buddha, not a Mohammedan, but another Jesus. What another faith. That's why I love, he says, I believe it was James, wasn't it? He said we should earnestly contend for the faith.
Amen.
The faith. The one faith. What faith? Not our faith. God's faith. The faith of the Son of God. How did the Son of God act? He did everything that pleased the Father. What was that group there that didn't go in? What was the thing that held them back? They didn't do the will of the Father. They did works. They did miracles. They did church. They were sincere. But they weren't doing the will of God. And that's all they needed to do. All those other things were vain when they left the will of God to go do them. And that's how Satan's faith works. That's how he deceives so well, is because he'll take people that were in the message but never got converted and make them just as miserable as he can. Listen now. And then when they give up and go to a denomination, he'll give them just a little bit of his faith to where they get a little bit of joy. Come on now. A little bit of peace. Let them see maybe a healing here or healing there and say, look, there's so much more to this than that dirty old message I was in. And they're done. Brother Branham went so far to say when a Baptist minister took the picture of Brother Branham with the pillar of fire over his head, and he said the picture of the Holy Ghost, and he laughed at it. He said he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I even heard of a sister one time that drew on that picture, and sure enough, she's not in this world anymore. But thank God, if you're a son of God, you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost because you are a part of the Holy Ghost. And as we said before, you only can be a hypocrite so long. You're eventually going to be what you are.
Right.
Hallelujah. Even these here that did the signs and wonders, eventually Judas came to the point where he had to be the devil he always was. Even in his own mind, remember, even his own reasoning, he thought he betrayed innocent blood. But yet, in his heart, he could not stop. He had to be that devil. He still sold him out. You see how it's crazy? You're right. It's a reprobate mind. It's a mind that doesn't make sense. It's one side where you say, yeah, I should be in church. I should do this. Yet, I never do it. Yet, when I'm given the choice, I pick the other one. Why? You have a reprobate mind. It's not consistent with itself. He is the author of confusion. So if you have confusion in your doctrine, I'm here to tell you who wrote it, and it wasn't God. Hallelujah. Let me read you a few more scriptures. I'll wrap this up. I think you're getting it. I always hate how to say that. Habakkuk 2:4 says this, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live." Remember, Brother Branham said, there's only two sources you can live by. How many wants to be the just?
Amen.
Amen. Well, the Bible says the just shall live by his faith. Glory to God. 1 John 5:4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith."
Amen.
One more here. Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life..." There's only two sources. "And the life which now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." And just in those three scriptures, you have the revelation of the bride of Christ right there. In the Old Testament, it says they'll live by his faith. They'll live by God's faith. Then it came and said, the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And then Paul said, the faith that I have is the faith of the Son of God. The Father's faith is the Son's faith, is the Holy Ghost's faith that is living in us. And it is the victory.
Amen.
It's what defeats the devil's faith. What made Jesus not lose in the temptation in the wilderness is his faith that the Word was right.
Amen.
All the signs around him would appoint it to leave in the Word.
Sure.
You're the Son of God, you say? Cast yourself from the temple, for it's written. I told you Satan knows the Word.
Right.
Intellectually now. That's all he's got. All he's got is intellectual faith. He doesn't have a revelation nowhere. Cast yourself down, for it's written, the angels shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. But the Word, don't just pick the one quote wonders or the one scripture miracles. It takes all the Word.
Amen.
And he said, Satan, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was speaking of himself. Yes, he was. He was the Lord his God.
Right.
Satan might not want God to be his God, but he is.
Right.
The atheist might not want Jesus Christ to be his God, but he is.
Amen.
Why? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You say, well, I don't know about this guy. He's pretty hard up and he's so stern. Oh, my. You wait until you get in that presence of that light. It don't matter. When you, even in this life right here, when we get in the presence of God, you see what happens to sinners? Oh, they're not comfortable. That's a good sign. Because I've too often seen people that I know are sinners walk into a message church. We'll leave the Baptists and all that out there, okay? Can we bring it right home? Walk into a message church and just sit comfortable and just enjoy themselves. Don't get no conviction. Something wrong.
Amen.
Why? Because wherever he is, if there's sin, it can't dwell together.
Right.
His presence will literally cause you, and it does it to me every service. I pray it does the same, to get that sin out.
Amen.
And if we'll be real Christians, we should do it before we get in that door. If we'll be real Christians, the second we recognize it, we should get back in the blood and get it out of our lives.
Amen.
Why? That's the faith that overcomes the world. Where our faith? Because the faith that was the Father transferred into the Son and came into us in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wisdom versus faith. And then, if you are a born-again child of God, you are and got the Holy Spirit in you. You are the manifestations of God's spoken Word before it was a word. Just letting that soak in.
Hallelujah.
How can I believe this when the rest of the world stares at it? How come I don't have to dilly-daddle around and work this up and work that up, yet these things still happen? I'm so glad that I finally recognize that's just who I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Is it that simple, Brother Andrew? Hope I don't offend you, but yes it is. What did Paul warn them? I don't want you to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What is he saying too? Not out here on your own. When you're in Christ, it's such a simple thing to just stay with the Word. Don't reason with it, sisters. When the devil tries, I mean, it's just a shame where we're at anymore in time. But even, they just had a church camp and I heard of one brother didn't want to be there because he was just tired of seeing all the short skirts on all the girls. That's just where we're at. I mean, how many sisters, or so-called sisters anyways, wear their hair up all the time because they're cutting it and they don't want nobody to notice? How many are just faking? They got their TV hidden in a wall somewhere and they pull it out and got their cable going when nobody's around? I mean, how much does this stuff happen? It happens all the time. But don't matter because the Lord knows it all. And the dark things will become light, and the light is exposing it now to where even those people that have tried to hide for years and years and years, they can't do it anymore, and they're leaving the message by the folds.
Right.
It's a shame, but that's where we're at. Why? Because they operated in Satan's faith, and they got Satan's results.
Amen.
But thank God, a message came for a certain group of people that I'm looking at tonight. That aren't listening to Satan's faith, that heed these warnings. That's all they are to us. Don't take them as condemnations. They are warnings to us of how the enemy attacks in this day. The prophet told us it, but it's just a reutterance. So, when they crossed the Jordan, they still had captains and guards and all these things, but they were only saying one thing. Moses told us to take this land.
Amen.
Just had a little bit more maybe specific orders than what they had before. Like, hey, Brother Bram didn't say anything about internet, but I'm here to tell you, if it does what a TV does, kick it out. If your phone does what the TV did, kick it out. Let's stand together tonight. Only believe. We got us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's the way his faith works. There's nothing else more to it. There's not a step two or three. It's only believing. I believe Satan's faith says, yeah, believe, but you've got to, you know, you've got to do this motion, or you've got to fast this long, then God will hear you, and you've got to do this and that. And if it's just a bunch of works, I'm here to tell you that's just the devil's religion, and it'll make you miserable. If you believe the word of God, you'll do those things. Why? Because you just want to. You want to be in God's presence. You believe in healing. Why? Because you care about that soul that's sick. Why do you want to get healed? Many times people don't get healed because of why they want to get healed. So they can feel better and go sin some more. That ain't no good. If you want to get well, it should be because I want to lift up God's name. I want to tell somebody else about this, that my God lives. I've got a motive to get the kingdom of God into every heart I can find. Hallelujah. I think it was Brother Lonnie actually one time talked about that. He said there was a man got hurt somehow real bad. And he asked him, he said, why do you want to get well? He's like, well, I got some horses I need to attend to and I can't do it with these legs the way they are. And sure enough, that man didn't get healed. It don't work that way. We don't tell God what to do. He tells us what to do. But I'm here to tell you, if you're being led by the Spirit, that's the best way to do it. Hallelujah. So let's bow our heads tonight. And let's apply this for a minute. Is that all it takes, Brother Andrew? Yes, it does, if you believe. Can you only believe for your request tonight? What is it, brother, sister? You got somewhere in your heart where there's that lack of faith? That little bit of doubt there that seems that Satan just knows how to quicken it all the time? Get you right back to being miserable and doing things of the world and all that. If that's you, brother, sister, don't stay that way tonight. Lift that need to the Lord and believe. Just lift it to Him. Say, Lord, thank you, Father. Look, things strike a Christian. Don't throw away your Christianity just because you made a mistake. That's the time to embrace it. Say, thank you for dying for me, Lord. And I believe you. Just forgive me. I didn't mean to. Glorify me once again. Remember, the blood keeps us clean. That's what it was. What really saves us is our faith. The blood's what keeps us clean so the Holy Ghost can come in. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother, sister. God bless you, brother. Now keep on pressing right in there until you get that peace back. Don't leave here with condemnation. We do that too many times. That's Satan's faith. You're always going to have to feel a little condemned. No, get in Christ to where you know that you know that you know you're never getting out. That if the Lord would come tomorrow, you're going. That's the faith we have. That's the faith that the Son of God had. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to challenge you tonight again. Is there anybody that's sick in body? Raise your hand and say, Lord, this is all I'm going to do. But I believe you tonight that I'm going to be well. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pronounce you well for his glory. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Now believe that. And whatever the devil says, do the opposite. If he tells you you're too sick to praise, that's shout the louder. Said your head hurts too much, don't do nothing. No, give it to him more. Says my shoulder hurts. That's right, Brother Thomas. Just raise it up anyway. Say it's fine. I'm feeling great. Thank you, Lord. That's the way faith works. You tell the devil who's boss, don't let him tell you what to do. You tell him what to do. Thank you, Lord. There's enough faith here to do any of these things you're asking. I'm telling you that right now. Why? Because the same faith that I have, the same faith that Brother Branham had, that Jesus himself has, is in every born-again person that's here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In this atmosphere then, as you stay in prayer, I'm going to allow those that might have a special need and you'd like to come forward. You can do that now. I'll be happy to pray with you if there's anyone out there tonight. Thank you, Lord. Stay in that atmosphere of prayer. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Even before they come, they're going to get their request. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As the Bible says, before you ask, he's already answered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus is here.
Sadie just wanted to testify that she feels better. So praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. And I believe there'll be much more testimonies just from your little hands of faith that went up.
Amen.
That's right. I believe that with all my heart. Well, don't forget that next Sunday, Brother Nathan will be here. This coming Sunday, I should say. I'm sorry. Brother Nathan Erickson will be preaching for us. And then the next Saturday or Sunday after that, we'll be having our business meeting. And don't get too worried. It only takes, what, 10 minutes, maybe? And we'll make sure we got it all squared away and present those things to you. Just remember one another in prayer as we go tonight. Love the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
Brave that cold weather because you got fire on the inside. That's right. I even had some, kind of inadvertently had some brother one time rebuke me, I guess, for not canceling service once. And what he saw, because they had the level threes. You all know level threes, right? Can't do nothing in a level three. I was like, well, that's fine if you want to believe that. But every time we had church under a level three, you know what I looked out at? An open Wendy's over there. Taco Bell's open. McDonald's is open. So wait a minute. I thought it was against the law to be out there. So we can go get a sandwich, but we can't come to the house of God and feed on the Word. Come on now. They say, well, you can go if you have to go to work. Here we are. It's only I got to show up for work, but nobody in the ladies got to be here for it. No, you're here on the job, just like the pastor's on the job. Thank you, Lord. I heard that, and I was, it's a little chilly, but my goodness, don't you want to be in the house of the Lord tonight?
Yeah.
Did you all hear all the things canceling tonight because it was a little chilly out?
Yep.
What kind of rapture are we getting ready for, you know? We can't overcome a little chill. I don't know if we're going to be able to overcome ourselves, but praise the Lord, you all made it tonight, didn't you?
Amen.
Amen. I'm not rebuking you. I don't know why I'm sharing that. Maybe there's just some reason. But I just love the Lord. Do you love Him tonight?
Yeah.
Let's just give the Lord a hand clap, praise and thank you. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. We'll just let Dad take service tonight. That's okay. God bless you.
It's by faith I'll see the sun. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith. By faith.